So I've entitled the message, Out of My Mind About Suffering. Now, I'm not saying that I've gone crazy from suffering, but rather what I'm saying is that these are thoughts that are coming out of my mind about suffering, and they're rooted in Scripture. So I want to read our Scripture passage this morning. It's Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to begin in verse 15 and read down to verse 26. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 15 and verses down to verse 26. And we read, this is the Word of God. It says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship and the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. So every single one of you, one of us in this room, we have endured suffering. We all have. No one's exempt from it. And it can be physical suffering, it can be emotional suffering, spiritual suffering. And to be frank, those three things, kinds of suffering, often kind of are all bundled up together. For example, when you have a serious disease and you're sick and possibly dying, well, that creates a whole lot of emotions, doesn't it? And it also creates a whole lot of wrestling between you and the Lord. And so you may be suffering physically, but you're also suffering and struggling emotionally as well as spiritually. And you know, we're also an organic being. There's an organicity to who we are as people. Like, you know, I have 10 toes. And if I drop something on my baby toe, it hurts like anything, doesn't it? Now, if I drop something on my baby toe, I'm not going to say to you, just ignore it. It's just my baby toe. It's real tiny. It has no significance whatsoever. No, it's going to hurt like anything. I'm going to hop because it's connected to the rest of me. So when you suffer, any part of you suffer, any component of you suffer, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual, it's all connected. And you very well may end up suffering in all these areas, all these facets of life. You know, suffering can be very intense. And there's people say, I have a really bad headache. And I sometimes counter, have you ever had a good headache? No. Headaches are headaches. They just hurt. You know, suffering can be very, very intense. And it can just knock the wind out of you. It can just knock the energy out of you. And it can cause you to struggle. And then, you know, today there's a lot of talk about trauma. You know, that when you go through suffering and pain, that you can experience trauma. You know, many times in a military situation, our soldiers coming back from combat struggle with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And you know, I have a friend. He was in Iraq, and he was in the Pennsylvania National Guard. The vehicle, the Humvee in front of him in Iraq, was blown up by one of those what do they call IEDs, improvised supplies, explosive devices, and all the men in that Humvee were killed. These were his comrades in arms. These were his friends. These were fellow soldiers. My friend, his name is Tim, his Humvee was flipped. And then there was a firefight because the Iraqis were shooting at them while they were pinned down after their Humvee was flipped. Well, Tim came home from Iraq, and if he hears like a backfire, he jumps. And he had nightmares at nighttime, you know, trauma from his experiences. He also lost a good part of his hearing in one ear from just the explosion and the gunfire. And so he continues to struggle with that. So we all suffer. We all have pain. And there's no such thing as minor suffering. Suffering is suffering, and it hurts. And again, it can be very holistic. It can be very comprehensive, embracing our physical bodies, our emotional life, as well as our spiritual walk with Jesus. And so this morning, I want to share some thoughts from Scripture about suffering and what the Lord says about it. And I'll be honest, anything and everything I say this morning is not going to make the pain go away, but it can give you perspective, and it can help you to see things for what it is, and to know that what you're going through now is not the final chapter, that a better day is coming. And in the meantime, Jesus is walking with you. He knows what it means to suffer. He went to the cross. He knows what it means to suffer horrible pain, horrible suffering, emotional pain. When he cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He no longer sensed the Father's presence. And he felt abandoned, and he felt forlorn. And so Jesus knows all that we go through. And so I'm hoping and trusting that as we look at this passage today, that we just have a different perspective on suffering, and we also know that we will never be abandoned, that Jesus will be with us, he'll walk with us, and that his Spirit will give us what we need to make it. And then the good news of the gospel is that there's a better day coming. This is not the final chapter. A good day is coming. So let's look at this passage, Romans chapter 8. And the first thing we want to mention about suffering and pain is that suffering and pain remind us that this world is not the way God created it to be. This world is not the way, this present world is not the way God created it. Now, we don't have time to unpack all this, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and it says that after God created everything, what does God say about creation? All that he had created. What does it say? It says that God beheld all that he had made, and it wasn't just good, it was very good. Everything that God originally made was good. And that's in chapter 1 of Genesis. And then in chapter 2, God creates Adam and Eve, mankind. And God tells Adam, he says, listen, you can have any tree in the Garden of Eden. You can eat, you can partake of, you can enjoy. But the one tree you cannot eat of is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then God says to Adam, he says, listen, the day that you eat of that tree, it says, in our English translations, it says, you shall surely die. Now, Hebrew, you know, we have great English translations. You don't need to know Hebrew or Greek to be able to read and study and grow from the Scriptures. But Hebrew has some things once in a while that don't get really translated easily into the English. And if you know what they are, it kind of helps you to really appreciate what's being said. In the Hebrew, when God says to Adam, in the day that you eat of this, you shall surely die. In the Hebrew, it literally says this. It reads as this in the Hebrew. In the day that you eat of that fruit, it says, dying, you shall die. And what that is, it's an intensive. The way that you know, we emphasize things in the English language is we raise our voice. We have exclamation marks. We yell things out. In the Hebrew, the way you emphasize something is that you repeat it. You repeat it more than one time. And so when it says that in the day, Adam, that you eat of this fruit, dying, you're going to begin this process of dying, and you shall die. We translate it as, in the day that you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. But literally, it's dying, you shall die. Now, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, did they die like that? No, they still were physically alive. But what happened? They incurred spiritual death. They now were separated from God. They needed a Redeemer. And that's what Jesus is all about. He came to redeem us. They were separated from God, so they suffered spiritual death. But something also happened. The principle of physical death and disease and all that comes with it became part of their genetic makeup. And so no longer were Adam and Eve going to live forever, but now they had this principle of disease and death, and they were going to grow old, and they were going to get sick, and they were eventually going to die physically. So the principle of death was embedded in our genetics and our genetic makeup because of our first parents. Now, Scripture also teaches something, too. Again, we can't unpack it. Big topic. But it talks about how Adam is the head of the human race. And so whatever Adam did, you and I would have done too. You know, you and I cannot sit back and say, ha, if I were in the Garden of Eden, I wouldn't have been so stupid. I wouldn't have eaten of that fruit. I would have said, Eve, just you know, stuff it. Don't eat that fruit. We would have done the very same thing that our first parents did. We would have. And we can't be self-righteous. We would have done the very same thing. And so their guilt becomes our guilt. Their guilt becomes our guilt and is passed down to us. And we are held accountable for their guilt because we would have done the very same thing that they did. They disobeyed God. So let's go back to Romans chapter 8, keeping in mind what we just talked about in Genesis. So if you look at this passage, and I'm going to look at it very closely. If you look at this passage, look if you would. It says in verse 18, it says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. And then listen to this, verse 20. For the creation was subjected to frustration. You know, God says to Adam in Genesis chapter 3, he says, the ground is cursed because of you. And when you work in toil, it's going to be in pain and sweat, and there's going to be the frustration to your work. And that's what this verse is talking about. The creation was subjected to frustration, to futility. There's bad things that are part of this world now. It's not the way God created it, but we introduced it because we sinned and rebelled against God. And so there's this frustration and futility in how we live our life. And then look, if you would, in verse 21. The creation itself, one day, a better day's coming, but in the meantime, this is how it is, the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And so what it's saying is that the world in which we live is a world that is decaying. It's a world that things get old, things fall apart, things break, things get sick, we die, parts of our bodies stop working, tragedy happens, catastrophe happens, hurricanes happen, earthquakes happen, volcanoes happen, tsunamis happen. This is what this verse is talking about. That the creation has this decay, this corruption that has been brought on by our sin, the sin of our parents. But again, we would have done the very same thing. And then look, if you would, in verse 22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth. And groaning, again, has the idea of pain and suffering. And it says, in the pains of childbirth. You know, when a woman goes into labor, it hurts. I've witnessed, you know, my wife having four babies. And this is what I have decided. God knew what he was doing. That women were created by God to bear and have a baby. Because if it were up to us men, there'd be zero population growth. There would be no babies. We would just say, no, I'm not going to go through that. So God knew what he was doing in saying the women would be the ones that would bear the babies, because our men, we just would chicken out. But there's a groaning, and there's a groaning, there's a pain. And then it goes on in verse 23, and not only so, not just the whole creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. And what that means is that we're saved. We know Jesus. The Spirit of God has been given to us. We're the redeemed of God. But yet even we ourselves, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, namely brand new bodies, the redemption of our bodies. So the first thing I want to emphasize is that suffering and pain that you and I go through, it's not what God intended for us. God is a good God. And when he created everything, he created it to be very good. But we messed it up. And to be frank, we continue to mess it up. We continue to live a life of rebellion against God, and we continue to mess up our planet, our earth. That's the first point. This world is not the way God created it to be. He created it to be good, and our first parents, and we are included in that, we polluted it by our sin. We cursed it. There's a second truth I want to emphasize is this, though, that the sufferings and pain that you and I go through, it's just for this present time. It's not a forever kind of thing. It's just for now. In fact, that's what verse 18 says. Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That the suffering that you and I go through is just for now. It's not forever. It's for a season. It's for this life, but not for the life to come. In fact, if you were to go to Revelation chapter 21, and John the apostle, he writes, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and he begins to describe it, and he says, in the new heaven and the new earth, he says, all the old things are done away with, and everything is brand new, and there is no more pain, and no more suffering, and no more sorrow, and no more death. And all things have become new. And then a very tender picture in Revelation 21. It says, and God shall wipe away every tear from your eye. And it's a picture of a loving father, you know, just holding his son or daughter who's crying. And he just wipes away the tears from their eyes and hugs them and says, it's okay. Everything's going to be okay. And so the suffering that you and I go through now is just for now. It is not forever. And it will pass. It will end. The third thing we want to emphasize about suffering is this, that pain and suffering are reminders that a better day is coming. They are reminders. They have kind of like a prophetic function. You know, prophecy looks to the future. What's going to happen? When you and I suffer and we go through pain and we're hurting, yes, it hurts here and now, but we can hang on to the fact that the fact that I'm hurting now, these are birth pangs. And that is God telling me that there's a better day coming. This is not the final chapter. You know, when a woman goes into childbirth, when she goes into labor, it hurts. It hurts badly. It you know, my wife, Marcia, we had our babies back in the 1980s, and the custom back then was that you would have a baby without any kind of pain killers. You know, you'd have natural childbirth. And so all the women in my church, we had a lot of babies being born, all the women in my church, they made choices that I'm not going to have an epidural, I'm not going to have painkillers, I'm going to have a natural childbirth. And so it hurt, especially because there was medicine that could have been given to help them. But they, no, real women have natural childbirth. You know, you ask my wife now, she would say I was a fool. I would have had an epidural, you know, but back then, they just had natural childbirth, and it hurt. But here is the hope. When my wife went into labor, we knew that it was going to end. And we knew that a baby was coming. A baby was going to be born. And you know, when that little baby is born, and the doctor and the nurses, they hold hand the baby to you, and you're the mom, and you're lying there, and you hold your newborn baby girl, baby son, it is a wonderful thing, and all the suffering and all the pain of childbirth kind of gets pushed into the back. And that's what verse 18 is saying. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That when we are in the presence of Jesus, that the sufferings and the hurts and the pain of this life are going to kind of fade away and diminish. And we're not going to see them, and we're not going to experience or feel the effects of that anymore. But we're going to just enjoy being in the presence of Jesus and what he has for us. So when you and I are suffering, it's like we're in childbirth. You know, with all the operations and heart and health conditions I have, I sometimes think I'm going to have triplets. But it's not permanent. There's a better day coming, and this is just temporary. And the pain serves as a prophetic function, as a prophecy that there's a better day coming. So hang in there and hang on. This is not the final chapter. But in the meantime, we suffer. we suffer. And so the fourth truth I want to share from this passage is that in the meantime, God will give you and myself what we need to make it. Look, if you would, in verse 26. After Paul talks about pain and suffering and the hope that there's a hope we have and we're looking and waiting for that hope. Look, if you would, in verse 26. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with wordless groans, or some translations say, with groans that cannot be uttered. And so you and I, we live in the present. We live in a world in which there's bad things that do happen to God's people. We suffer, and we can suffer horribly. And we know it's just for now. We know that a better day is coming. But what about now? It does hurt. It hurts in the now. It hurts in the here and now. And God gives us a promise in verse 26 that the Spirit is going to help us in our weakness. He's going to help us. And how does He do that? He will strengthen you. He will give you peace that passes all understanding. He will give you grace sufficient for the moment. He may send friends and people into your life, loved ones, that give you encouragement, that hug you, that let you know that they're with you, they're for you, and they're going to stick with you through thick and thin. That you read a scripture verse that just jumps out at you and gives you and fills you with hope. Or maybe Christian music that you listen to, hymns, you know, that you listen to. You know, when I had my second open heart surgery, and it was a bad surgery. I was in the hospital 9 days. It was a long surgery, and things went bad. My lungs shut down after the surgery. I had acute respiratory failure. They had to keep me intubated, and it just was not a walk in the park. Or if it was, I was being mugged here, every corner I turned into. And anyway, I got extubated eventually. I got into the step-down unit. I still was pretty in bad shape. I was hurting like anything. And it just was a really, really sad and rough time. And Heather Rice, you all know our dear Heather. She's very musical. She called me. And I said, Heather, I said, could you sing a song for me? And she said, sure. And she said, what do you want me to sing? And I said, we have a story to tell to the nations. And she started laughing because she thought, that's a weird song for me to sing to Bob. You know, we have a story to tell to the nations. And I said, Heather, I'm not kidding. I want you to sing that song. And she said, why? And I said, well, that is a song of victory, that the gospel goes forth, people get saved, the kingdom of God comes to earth, and Jesus reigns and He is triumphant. And I said to her, I said, you know, right now, I kind of feel like I'm on the losing side. And I just need to be reminded that no, my Jesus is victorious. He is King. There's a better day coming, and I'm part of that, even today when I feel pretty badly. And so she got her hymn book, and she sang all the verses of We Have a Story to Tell to the Nations. Well, friends, the Spirit of God will give you what you need to make it through suffering. And He does it creatively. He does it in ways that you may never anticipate, never expect, maybe not even ask for, because our God is a creative God. He's innovative. But I just encourage you, and I assure you, based upon the authority of God's Word, that yeah, you're going to suffer and you're going to have pain, but it's just for now. There's a better day coming. And in the meantime, the Spirit of God is going to give you everything you need to make it. Are you still going to hurt? Yeah. Are you still going to have tears? Yes. Is your heart still going to be burdened and heavy? Yes. But you're going to make it through. And at the end of the day, it's going to be okay, because you'll be with Jesus. And you'll look back on this life and you'll say, it was a good life, even with the pain and suffering, because my Jesus was with me every step of the way. So be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And if you're going through labor right now and you have those labor pains of groaning within yourself because of suffering and pain, it does hurt. But there's a better day coming. and God will be with you every step of the way until that day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that we shared this morning. And Lord, it doesn't make the pain feel any less painful, but it does give us hope. And it gives us, Lord, what we need to keep on keeping on, to not give up, to press on, to look beyond our pain and circumstances and to look to Jesus and to know that he is no stranger to pain. In fact, one of his names is he is the man of sorrows. And when we suffer, Lord, in a sense, we are suffering with him. And he is especially close and especially near and dear to us when we go through our time of suffering and difficulty. Lord, the suffering reminds us that this world is messed up because of sin. But Lord, that's what Jesus is all about. He came to die on the cross for our sins, and on one day, he will make everything new. Everything will be new, and all the old things of this life will be done away with. And there will be a new heavens and a new earth, and it will be beautiful. And there will be no more pain and no more sorrow, no more death, no more sickness, no more suffering. All things will become new. And Lord, you will hold us close and you will wipe away the tears from our eyes and you will tell us that you are now safe. You're safe with me forever. So Lord, encourage us, bless our hearts, we pray. Give us grace. I pray for my dear brothers and sisters this morning who may be hurting and hurting pretty badly, that you just would touch them, Lord, and fill them with hope and fill them with your grace and give them a very, very special sense of your presence and of your love. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.